Morning, everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of a new day. Please teach us what you want us to learn. Please encourage us to support one another. And please strengthen us for whatever this following week involves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to start today by asking you what you do for work, what you're going to be doing this coming week that might come under this big word, work. Now, over this coming week, just to give you an example, I will be doing a variety of things that might be classed as work. First of all, I'll be the senior minister of two churches. That is work, actually. I'll be doing a lot of things, and that'll be my main work, and I will be paid for that. I always find that extraordinary that people will pay me to do this job. I'll also be a husband. I purposely left that pause there. And I will be a father of three children. And so I will have some duties to do at home, which will include a mix of things like laundry and cooking and washing dishes and paying bills and all the normal things that every man has to do. As carers for our son David, there are things that Ginny and I must do each day to ensure that he can go to university and participate in life. I'll also go to a committee meeting this week for a couple of hours, and prior to that I'll need to read the agenda papers that some months can run to 400 pages. That is a voluntary role. Some of my work is intellectual in the sense that it involves reading and writing, making decisions, and I'm often working alone when I do that sort of work. Some of it is physical work, so I have to be up and about and getting things done. Some of my work is done in public here at church and some done at home. Some I'm paid for and much of my work I'm not. Some of my work I actually enjoy and some of it, well, you just got to do it, don't you? Let's just take a moment. You think about your coming week. What sort of work will you be involved in? Now, is God interested in our work? That's the question that Ken Costa asks at the start of his book, God at Work. It's a great question, I think. Is God interested in our work? Is he interested in what we do for most of our week? Or is he just interested in what we do at church? Or to put it another way, is God only interested in our Christian activities, the bits of our lives that have some sort of spiritual aspect to them? Or is he interested in what we do for a living, what we do as volunteers, our study, our daily routine, our involvement in what people call the marketplace, or in John's Gospel, the world? Is God interested in that? Could God have any interest whatsoever in what you do for the bulk of your week, whether it's working in IT, or running your own business, writing an essay, or stacking the shelves at a supermarket? Or to put it another way, to think of it in a different way, are there jobs that God approves of more than others, that God is interested in more than others? So I read recently of a lady who left a well-paying job to join the staff of a Christian ministry. And she described her decision to leave her secular role to join this Christian ministry like this. Working a normal job, I had to spend 40 or 50 hours a week doing what my employer wanted me to do. Ministry had to come second. But now I'll be free to devote all my time to God and to ministry. End of quote. Now, I understand what this lady means. She's absolutely thrilled to be working in a Christian ministry role. But by elevating the significance of Christian ministry, she is subtly diminishing the significance of what she's described as a normal job. I want to show you my perspective on this through my own experience. I didn't get ordained as an Anglican minister until I was 33 years of age. But I'd been in various forms of paid employment for over 20 years prior to that. I started young. At different points in my life, I had worked as a paper boy. That was my first job. As a waiter, a barman, I'd worked in sales, I'd worked as a courier, as a retardation nurse, I'd carted hay and loosen one summer, and I'd qualified as a secondary school teacher. I'd also done some formal studies at a couple of universities and been a volunteer leader on a number of summer camps and been a volunteer member of various sports and student committees. All of that involved a lot of work. I think Christian ministry is a great privilege, and it is certainly hard work. You can ask any of the staff team at St Alfred's. But I don't think it negates or diminishes the significance of all the work that I did before I was ordained. All of that is also valuable in God's eyes. So I don't think there's a hierarchy of spiritual and secular work. God can be with you in any work situation, wherever you are. And you can be expressing your Christian faith in all sorts of work environments. And that will just simply depend on your attitude. We're helped by 16th century reformer Martin Luther, who saw that there was no division between sacred and secular work, that it all matters to God. So Luther says that the works of monks and priests, however holy and arduous they may be, their works are no different, quote, in the sight of God from the works of the rustic labourer toiling in the field or the woman going about her household tasks. Why? Because all works are measured before God by faith alone. So if you are a Christian doing your work, it can all be done for God, and it doesn't really matter what it is that you're doing. This sermon series, which we're calling God at Work, taking the title from Ken Costa's book, starts from the premise that God is interested in all your work, that all work matters to God, that whatever you're doing through the rest of your week matters, that God is interested in your whole life, not just part of your life. It's wrong to think that God is only with you when you're at church. God is with you every single day, no matter what you are doing or where you are. You might be peeling potatoes. You might be putting the finishing touches to that PowerPoint talk that you have to give. You might be flying to a meeting overseas. You might be finishing the budget that lots of your colleagues depend on. God is with you in all of that work, and it all matters. You see, God is God over all human activities. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that God is only interested in your spiritual work or your sacred work. He's interested in what you're doing every day of the week. Because if God is not the God of the whole week, then he is not God at all. Or as Hudson Taylor memorably put it, Jesus Christ is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. Now let's think about where work comes from. And to do this, we must go back to the creation story in Genesis, which we heard read earlier. The Bible story begins with God working. God is a creator. He creates the world and everything in it. And there is purpose and order in how God works, in what he creates. And it appears God's purpose is to create the perfect environment for human beings to flourish. He works for 6 days, looks at all he's done, says it's very good. It's everything as he wanted it to be. It's as it should be. That he's created humans and creation in perfect relationship. Everything is in harmony with one another. And having done all of this work, God then rests. And that's the climax of the creation story. God and humans and the world at rest together. Humans, we're told then, are made in God's image to work and rest. So there are two correctives here, I think. One is, if you're lazy, get off your backside and start working. The other corrective is, if you're a workaholic, stop doing that and have a rest. Now, the work God gives humans is to look after creation, to be stewards and carers of everything he's made to rule over the earth as God's representative. And part of what I think that means is to ensure that everything is kept in order and harmony. In a sense, God creates everything and beautifully and perfectly and then says to humans, here, it's yours, go for it, look after it. And you get this verse in Genesis 2 where we're told the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So there's the word work in the original creation story. Now, my simple point here is that humans are made to work. We have a sense of fulfillment and purpose when we're doing work because that's in our DNA. And you'll know the opposite of that, where you feel like you don't have anything to do. You feel redundant. You feel sort of lost. You wake up in the morning and you've got nothing that you have to do. And that makes us feel often uncomfortable. Sadly, in the original Genesis story, we know that this perfection, this harmony in the Garden of Eden didn't last forever, and humans turned away from God. And we call this the fall, or describe it as original sin or human rebellion. Humans decide to reject God and do life their own way and are cast out of the perfect garden. And part of the result of this fall and this rebellion is that work becomes painful. Genesis 3:17 describes work as painful toil. And some of us experience that some days of the week. Some of us experience that every day of the week. The ground is cursed and everything that humans put their hands to become so much harder. So instead of being a joy, work is now full of frustration and struggle and pain. Now, sometimes people describe work as a necessary evil, as if it's the result of the fall, but it's not. Work is a good thing, it's a gift from God, but instead of being a blessing, an unadulterated blessing, it's now a blessing with a sting. And that's why we find work so frustrating at times. But it's still a gift from God. It still gives purpose and meaning and direction to our lives. And we can approach it with the view that it is this gift and it is a way of serving God and even worshipping God. Our work can be the context in most of the week where we actually are worshipping God if we approach it with the right attitude. Now, here's the right attitude, I think. We heard it earlier in Ruth's talk to the kids from Colossians 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And I think as Christians, that changes our perspective on work. If we know that whatever we are doing, we are serving Christ while we're doing it. And with this attitude of serving God through your work, you could be doing almost anything. It's interesting when you look at Scripture, you see how varied the work is that many of God's people do throughout Scripture. Here's an example, just an example of some of the work that people in the Bible do. Abraham, he was a cattle breeder. Joseph, a politician. Moses and David originally were shepherds. Nehemiah, a project manager. Job, a wealthy pastoralist. The noble wife of Proverbs 31, an entrepreneur. Luke, a doctor. Dorcas in Acts 9, you know what she did? She made clothes. She was in the fashion industry. Erastus in Romans 16, civil servant. He was the director of public works. Peter, a fisherman. Paul, a tent maker. And of course, Jesus, a carpenter. So let that be an encouragement to you that no matter what work you're doing, it can all be done in God's name and for God's glory. God is interested in your work. And your work contexts can be places where you're serving God and worshipping God. So the question for you today is then, how are you viewing all your work? What is your attitude towards that? Are you doing it simply for your own reasons, to pay the bills, to advance your career, those sorts of things? Or are you also doing it to serve God? Now, again, I'll tell you a little story from my own experience. I had wanted to be a secondary school teacher from the age of 15. For some reason, very early on, I just knew that that's what I was going to be. And I eventually qualified as a teacher 9 years later when I was 24. Now, around the same time, I became a Christian. Once I became a Christian and I realised God wanted to be part of my work life, I was horrified, because I had this crazy thought that if I let God be in my work, if I handed over my teaching role to God, he would take it away from me and he would tell me to go and be a missionary. And I didn't want to do that. So I had to pray and wrestle before I could say to God, okay, God, my job is yours. Do whatever you want to do with me. I will obey. Now, the funny thing was that God just left me where I was. Nothing changed. But everything changed inside me, because I now went to school as a teacher knowing that I was there because God wanted me to do. I'd let go of it. So if you haven't done that, I challenge you to do that. It might be a bit scary, but I can assure you God will know better than you what he wants you to do. So our work is not just about us. It's about serving God and people wherever God has placed us. And we can be ambassadors for Christ in any workplace, as long as we are intentional about that and prayerful about that and open to the Spirit of God directing us. Ken Costa in his book mentions a personal assistant who, when she walked into the foyer of this office block, every time she walked past the reception desk, she would say to herself this phrase, "It is the Lord Christ I'm serving." She would remind herself every morning as she came to work. Ken himself describes his workstation, where he has his computer, where he does all his, a merchant banker, where he does all his decision making. He said, "My workstation is my worship station. That's where I worship God." And he prays every day before work, reminding himself that he's not dependent on himself, and he's a very clever man. He's not dependent on the economic system. He's in banking. He reminds himself every morning in prayer that he's dependent on God. This is what he says about work. Work is a ministry empowered by God for the benefit of ourselves and others, and ultimately for God's glory. I think that's quite helpful. And you can approach God, you can approach your work like that, no matter what you are doing.